You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, it's another edition of the Irish Racing Podcast, courtesy of William Hill. It's Friday, May the 25th, and it's Leopardstown that picks up the baton and runs with it this evening. We've got some really good action for you as well. Top class, as well as the sort of mediocre run-of-the-mill handicaps. Of course, the highlight of the show is Audouin St. George, who won the Savile Beg last year, and he bids to retain his crown up against four rivals at 7.25. My best bet on the card comes in the shape of a well-handicapped horse, potentially, in the Apprentice Handicap at 7.55, but we'll get onto that soon. We've got to deal with a two-year-old contest to kick us off. That begins at 5.20. All the vibes are around track that Cape of Good Hope is going to be another winner for the Aidan O'Brien stable, having been heavily backed this morning. Again, another colt by Galileo, bound to know his job. He's got a decent draw as well, and Ryan Moore's, of course, gone over to ride him as well. So it would not surprise me if he justified favouritism. Of the ones that have had a run well, quite clearly, Gerlines' California Daddy should run well on the basis of his first time out effort behind, incidentally, one of Aidan O'Brien's called Van Beethoven down in Nace. Now, he stuck out on the wing that day. It was a race, as is often the case on good ground at Nace, where it paid to be on that far side rail, as the winner was. And California Daddy was marooned out in the centre, so he clearly had a little bit of a disadvantage. But he ran quite well in the latter stages, keeping on strongly to finish second in the end, albeit beat three lengths at the line. With his experience and another good low draw and an upping trip, one would imagine that California Daddy will give Cape of Good Hope plenty to think about there in the opening race. From about 2-1, he may just prove the value better of the two.
Race two.
On to the second race then, and one of my stronger bets runs here in the shape of Casimiro, who caught my eye massively on his run here last time out in a very strong handicap, won by Fozzie Sack Zorian. A whole host of informed horses were in that race. When Casimiro, drawn 14 of the 16 runners, had to be dropped out the back with only had one horse behind him turning in, and then made rapid headway up the inside of the track, which ultimately proved his downfall because he didn't get the clearest of runs late on. He wouldn't have won, but he certainly would have finished in the first three had he got to a clearer passage. He's much better drawn tonight, and hopefully Colin King can get him out and get him more competitive as he was last time out. You just can't make the ground up here at Leopardstown if you're too far back on decent ground. I thought odds around about 5-6-1 overnight and this morning. Looks massive each way. He's obviously going to be a good deal shorter because everyone seems to have cottoned onto him at time of recording. Alan's Pride, well, he won well there the last day down in the Curragh, but he just might want a little bit more softer ground than what he's going to encounter this afternoon. But at least the second horse, Keep Believing, ran well to boost that form at the Curragh venue the other day, so he's got to be a factor despite the bad draw. And Prosecution is the other one to mention, having finished behind one of Richard O'Brien's well-handicapped horses at the Curragh last time out in the shape of Math Prize, so he's another one to consider. But Casimiro, very strong choice there in race number two.
Race number three.
Onto the 6.25, probably one of the hardest maidens I think I've ever come across. 7-1 the field probably tells you all you need to know about this race. There's been good money for Baited Beauty this morning from the Willie McCreary stable. And given Willie's record with fillies in the last three or four seasons, one would have to respect the cash in that horse's direction. But the two horses before him are having a go, or Havana Go, who has run consistently well in three starts. And also Joseph O'Brien's Proud and Elated. And of the two, I'd probably go with Joseph's filly by McPhee, who I thought ran well in a similar main to this down in Cork the other day, won by Aidan O'Brien's Most Gifted. Hence had also got some good form going into that and was second once again from the same stable. And I thought Pran Elated for a 33-1 shot ran way above expectations. Prior to that, she was in a very good maiden at Dundalk on the all-weather, won by a horse I think potentially could be quite smart, Mickey Halford's Terzetto, again in a good time figure. And with a middle to widest draw, which shouldn't be too much of an inconvenience, I think 9-1's not a bad price for Pran Elated, given her speed figures and her overall form coming into this particular race.
Race 4.
On to the 6.55 again, another massively competitive handicap. So good night for the play spots, I think, if you can get through all the way through to this race and beyond. I must admit, total demolition was to get in this race. I think he'd probably win here. He's first reserve and there might well be a non-runner by the time they go down a pace for this race. So do keep your eyes open for that, because I do like the way this John Larkin's Charge won at Killarney the last day, and he's got a really good record here at Leopardstown. But as it stands, he doesn't get in, and I'll probably have to put up something else. And I'm going to go with Clueless Hill here from the Luke Comer stable. He was obviously in listed company last time. He was 100-1. It was a bit of a social runner for the yard, and understandably finished last of the eight behind Imaging. Of course, runs in the Irish 2000 Guineas at the weekend. But if you go back to his run previously on the 16th of April when he was third behind Triple Sec, that does give him a chance of being competitive here if he can run to the same standard. The runner-up, Sagittarius Rising, has already boosted that form with a win down in Gowran, and also Beach Wedding as well, who was sixth, has won subsequently for the Mickey Halford Stable. And I do like the way this horse kept on in the latter stages to be a never near a third. So the step-up in trip, based on that run and his pedigree, certainly suggests that he should be more effective over a mile. So around about the 10-12-1 mark this morning, I'm going to go with Clueless Hill to at least finish in the first three or four there in that competitive 6.55.
Race 5.
On to the 7.25, and no introduction here is needed for Order of St George, who's a bit of a standing dish in this race. He's managed to win it twice, and it looks like it's going to be third time he's going to get his name on the Roll of Honour board here, because his opposition looks remarkably weak, it has to be said. So really, are we dealing with horses that perhaps could chase him home? Obviously, the obvious one is Twilight Payment, who has seen the backside of Order of St George on many, many occasions, and he's got some top-class form over a mile and a half and beyond. The only other one you could consider is Rinetti, but he's too in and out really to have anything to do with from a confident level. Sometimes he doesn't, you know, he refuses to race and sulks, and other days he sparks into life. The other two look outclassed. So it really all depends on how far he wins and how far he can take his level of performance up when it comes to Royal Ascot. I think that's the $64,000 question. And of course, this year, not only he hasn't got to contend with Big Orange, but he's got two huge opponents all of a sudden from left field. Stradivarius, who of course won at the Royal Meeting last year, has put a marker down in the Yorkshire Cup. And Magic Circle, who of course won the staying race at Sandown last night, and a big speed figure, is also a player. So connections of Order of St George have certainly got to be not resting on their laurels come another month's time at Royal Ascot, and tonight we'll tell them all they need to know of what kind of condition he is going into that contest.
Race number 6.
On to 7.55, and as I said, best bet on the card by an absolute country mile is this Prince Gary Antle, who lurches in right down the foot of the weights here, number 21 on the card. And you look at his form figures on the flat, you think, how on earth is this horse a 6-4, 7-4 shot? Well, it's plain for all to see that his three runs previously on the level have no reflection on his subsequent well-being and improvement over hurdles. And it's that translation of that form from timber to the flat, which hopefully is the catalyst to him being successful now on his return to the level. Since he's been with Matthew Smith, his form figures have rocketed since he's also had the tongue-tie and cheekpiece combination on. He won his first two starts over hurdles, and then he finished second twice in some good competitive handicaps. He managed to win at Clonmel off a mark of 108 towards the back end of, or to the early part of this jump season. And then after 180-day break, he was brought back by connections to win the Adair Manor Handicap, formerly the Martinstown Opportunity at the Punchestown Festival. He won that off a mark of 121. He went up to 133, and albeit he couldn't quite cope with that rise in a much better race, he certainly wasn't disgraced, and he got beat at 15 lengths by Mary Diva in one of the most competitive handicaps run at the Punchestown Festival. Like I say, with a mark of 133, he runs here with a kid's claim off here of 7. Off a mark of 39, that's £94 lower than his hurdle mark. So if ever there was, seemingly there looked a penalty kick, of all penalty kicks, this one surely is it. Unfortunately, he's got a little bit of a bad draw drawn on towards the outside, but hopefully Alan Pearce, who rides for Joseph O'Brien, can get this horse out and across and into a decent position. He does like to make the running, so hopefully that forceful ride should stand him in good stead. Obviously, he'll stay the trip, no problem. He's run over 2.5 miles over hurdles. All in all, Really, they should be winning tonight. So, like I say, I'd be amazed if he doesn't justify his position in the market. Hopefully, Conron, who is also lurking down there as second reserve, doesn't get in the race, because if he was to run, then he'd be in massive danger. But as it stands in Irish flat racing at the moment, you need a miracle, really, for two horses to drop out and for you to get in. But he's one to keep on the right side of when he does finally get a race, because off 46, he's also well-treated.
Race 7.
On to the 8.25, then. I'm going to stick with the informed Flint from the Dire Love stable. This horse stepped up to the plate quite comfortably, I thought, the other day at Sligo, when he raced keenly throughout, took up the running going up the hill, and he started very strongly to win, I thought, with a bit in hand from two potentially very well handicapped horses, particularly a Smooth Criminal, who'd gone there off the back of a win the time before at Clonmel. Obviously, for pleasure, has got to be respected, but maybe the faster ground conditions might just not suit James Barrett's three-year-old. Whereas Flint, who coped with some nice ground the last day, has got no issues with regards the underfoot conditions.
And the final race.
On to the final race then, the 8.55. And this looks, I wouldn't say a match, but I think it's an intriguing rematch anyway, in many respects, between Bianca Minola and Ringside Humour. Now, Bianca Minola has been in fantastic form. Now, she coped well enough with the ground the other day at Navan over a mile five, and she was only just run out of it late on by decision time. But all her best form has definitely come on a much, much softer surface. Soft, soft to heavy, and heavy have been her three ground conditions when she's been victorious. And I do think my mile and a quarter dropping back in trip might just be on the sharp side for her. So I'm going to go with Ringside Humour, who albeit got beat the other day by Bianca Minola, I think the drop back to mile and a quarter is fine. She's won once in two starts here at this track and has got a good draw as well. So I'd expect Ringside Humour, anyway, at the very, very least, to be in the first three there in the final race. OK then, thanks very much for listening to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast. Hopefully you can join me again for tomorrow and of course Sunday as well, where we're going to be taking a look at the two big Curragh race cards, of course the Irish 2000 Guineas tomorrow and the 1000 Guineas on Sunday. So until then, it's bye for me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.